this morning we are wrapping up our series through Colossians 3 and 4. It's been a wonderfully encouraging passage to me to meditate on this past month. And this morning we're going to be reading from verses 2 through 6. We'll be looking specifically at 4 through 6, but this morning we'll read 2 through 6. So hear now the word of God. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This is the word of the Lord to us. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your word, which is gracious, is full of grace, seasoned with truth, and through which you enlighten our eyes and our hearts, through which you show us the glories of Christ, through which you change us and transform us. And so we ask, Lord, that this morning that you would renew our minds through your word, that you would transform us, that we might display the light of Christ in our lives, especially toward those on the outside. And so we ask, Lord, for your blessing, the blessing of your spirit. And we pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Last morning, the church was called and exhorted to pray for leaders in the church. As Paul asked the Colossians to pray for him, he urged them to pray for him in his gospel ministry to declare the word. Because Paul, as all of God's people, are part of his kingdom and are part of his mission to bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Paul had been commissioned as an apostle to preach. And he says, I need boldness. I need clarity. I need the Lord's blessing. So pray for me as I minister. You have a role in praying for those who have been sent out to preach the gospel. But here, we're reminded that you also, as God's people, have a calling to speak. And you are also a part of that mission to bringing the light of gospel truth to those who are still on the outside. You might not be a minister. You might not be called to ordained ministry. You may not be called as an evangelist, as an apostle. But you are called, nevertheless, to speak in a way that the Lord can use to bring those on the outside into his kingdom. So as we heard in our call to worship, that prayer, Lord, bless your people. And there's the hope. The Lord will bless his people so that all the nations will praise him. The nations will see the light of Christ. And so we are called to speak in a way that will bring the light of Christ to those on the outside. And we all have regular interactions with those on the outside. We have coworkers, classmates. We have family, neighbors. We're always in contact. And so this morning, I wanted to ask you, what is your time and your conversation with those on the outside characterized by? Well, Paul begins here by exhorting us to walk in wisdom, redeeming or making the best use of the time. Walk in wisdom towards the outsiders, making the best use of the time. So we're to walk in wisdom. And as we'll see, his focus here is on how we speak. So by walking in wisdom, Paul's exhorting us to talk with wisdom to those on the outside. And he says, making the best use of the time. Now, the Greek here actually literally means redeeming the time. Redeeming the time with those on the outside. So in that 5-minute conversation that you have with your neighbor as you're mowing the grass or raking leaves, or as you're sitting at the lunch table with a classmate, the word here says to redeem the time. We're called not to pass the time with our words, but to redeem the time. Well, we're called to redeem the time by speaking, and we'll see here, we're called to speak in a gracious manner, and to speak in a way that's salted with truth, and we're to speak in a way that's suited to the person we're speaking to. And that's what we see here in verses 5 and 6. So first, Paul says, let your speech always be gracious. We're to speak in a gracious manner. And again, looking, the Greek literally says, speak with grace. Always speak with grace. Well, what does that mean, to speak graciously or to speak with grace? Well, first, it means it has the idea of speaking words that are graceful. Graceful words. Not words that are harsh or biting, but words that are gracious. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you, but do so with gentleness. Do so with gentleness, meekness and gentleness. Our words are to be characterized with gentleness. They're to be graceful. We heard this morning in our Old Testament reading, Proverbs 16, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And perhaps you know gracious people. I think of the people in my life whose words are always just characterized by gracious. And they're people who are close to the Lord Jesus. And the graciousness of the Lord Jesus fills their hearts and their speech. Perhaps you know those people. You show up to a situation and you've made some kind of error and you're just kind of really, you know, your head is bowed. You're expecting to kind of be berated for how you've failed. And the person speaks words that encourage you and are gentle and gracious. Our words are to be graceful. But that word, gracious, also has the idea of gratitude. In fact, the word gratitude in the scriptures, the Greek word for gratitude, is literally full of grace. And the word here translated as grace is sometimes translated as thanks. When Jesus was feeding the 5,000, it says when he had given thanks, that word is grace. So gracious words are words that are filled with, marked by gratitude, expressing gratitude. And that really brings a contrast to the world, doesn't it? I remember a summer that I worked in a construction crew. My brother and I were the only believers on this crew. And if I could describe the character of speech, probably the most dominant word was complaining. It's complaining. But when your heart is filled with the grace of Christ, and you know the mercy of God in Christ to you, there's a change in the character of your speech. And Paul says, so as Christians, let that speech be characterized with that gratitude. Whether you're thanking your neighbor or your friend for perhaps some kindness they've shown you, or you're expressing in their presence your gratitude for all that the Lord has done for you, or given to you. So gracious words are words that are marked by gratitude. In Ephesians, Paul says, he's exhorting the believers as well, again, about their speech. He says, let there be no filthiness or foolish talking, but instead let there be thanksgiving. So gracious speech is speech marked by thanksgiving. But gracious speech is also aimed at imparting a blessing. See, when You're speaking graciously. It's aimed at building up the hearer. Again, in Ephesians, Paul says, let no corrupting talk come from your mouth, but only that which is good for upbuilding, that it may impart grace to the hearer. So young people here, when you're talking with your siblings, you know, think about how you're speaking with them. Are you looking to tear them down? Or you're considering how your speech has the power to build them up. And as you practice your speech with your brothers and sisters, or your brothers and sisters in Christ, so you are training yourself to have speech that imparts grace to those on the outside. So Paul says, let your speech be gracious. First, gracious in manner. But secondly, he says your speech is to be salted, seasoned with salt. Salted with truth. Let your speech be salted with truth. Now, salt was used as an image among the rabbis commonly in that day to refer, or was used as an image of, or metaphor for wisdom and instruction. Salt is wisdom and instruction. So when Paul says, let your speech always be seasoned with salt, he says, let it be seasoned with wisdom and truth. Now, why would why is salt, the seasoning of salt, used as a metaphor for wisdom or truth? Well, first, because it is delightful. I mentioned when I was giving my report on Uganda that the food there was not really seasoned. Most of the people were, I suppose, too poor to really have a store of salt to be seasoning their food. So for us Americans, the food seemed rather bland. And after a couple of weeks, some of the younger people in our crew were just hungering for pizza. And they found a hotel that sold pizza. But what made that pizza so savory was the salt in it. Salt makes the food delightful. And so truth and wisdom has a delightfulness about it. You know, at the end of Ecclesiastes, we're told about Solomon that the preacher, the one who spoke this wisdom, sought to find words of delight. Uprightly he wrote words of truth. There's something about wisdom, right, and truth that has a delightful power to it. Think about reading the scriptures. Right? When you read the scriptures and you hear truth, there's something beautiful about the truth. It brings light to your eyes and to your understanding. And when you talk with people who are filled with gospel truth, with the truth of Scripture, with the truth of the Word, you find a light in hearing that wisdom. But salt is also used as a metaphor because salt was a preservative, and the truth has a preserving, a saving effect. Salt was used in meat to preserve it, because without salt, bacteria and worms grow in meats. But you salt it, and the salt kills that bacteria and kills those worms. Well, we live in an age, in a world, that is filled with the worms and the deadly bacteria of sin. But God's truth brings light into this world and preserves and delivers people from the death of that poison. And so we're called to speak truth that preserves. I have a friend who the owner of the pizza shop next to the Boardwalk Chapel. He's been the owner for about 20 years, and he came to faith just a couple of years ago. Well, he talks often about a man, Len Chenu, was a minister in New Jersey for many years, passed away a few years ago, and used to preach and minister there at the chapel. And he speaks often about how Len Chenu would speak to him. And you know, he remembers so much of the truth that Len Chenu spoke to him. I remember him telling me one time, it was I think the first time that John met Len. And Len walked up to him and gave him this huge hug and said, and just very graciously, you know, I knew your uncle, the former owner of this business, and he was a friend of mine, and so you are a friend of mine. There was this graciousness in the manner. But John says, you know, and I remember him telling me, he asked me in the course of our conversation, he said, John, you know, the scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. John, do you fear the Lord? Just a small bit of truth, gospel truth. It was seasoning in his speech. And over 15 years later, John still remembered those words. And it's part of what the Lord used to work on his heart and to bring him to embrace to faith, embrace the Lord Jesus a couple of years ago. So Paul says, let your speech be seasoned with salt, the salt of the truth of God's word. Now, perhaps you think, well, you're thinking of your conversation with those on the outside, and maybe you think, you know, I don't know that I'm speaking often a lot of biblical truth to people, but I'd like to. I would like my words to be filled with that saltiness. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, if you have the heart of Jesus, you know what? You've been filled with him. You've been filled with his spirit. And so you have the ability to speak truth because Christ is in you. But it's interesting, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This reminds us the importance of filling our hearts richly with the words of our Lord. That's why Paul says a little earlier, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The more the word works, is the more you're meditating on the word, the more you're putting it in, right, the more easily it will come out in your conversations. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So your speech is to be gracious in manner, salted with truth. But thirdly, suited to the person. Suited to the person. Notice that Paul says, walk in wisdom, right, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. First, I want you to notice, he says, so you'll know how to answer each person. The assumption here that Paul's making is that people are going to be asking questions. See, when you are living with the light of Christ in you, that's going to stand out. And that's going to bring up questions. You know, I notice you seem to love going to church a lot. Why is that? Be ready to answer that question. You know, I've noticed, boy, you never, so-and-so never complains at work. Everybody's complaining. How come you never complain? Be ready to give an answer. As you're living the light of Christ, people are going to be asking questions. But he says, walk in wisdom so that you'll know how to answer each person. And that's because every person and every situation is different. And it's important that you're considering, who is it that I'm talking about? Where are they coming from? What is their situation? What is their need? You know, some people, is this person a bruised reed? Maybe they're under significant weight. Or maybe this person is a proud person that needs a little prick, right? Something to stir them up. Who is it that I'm talking to? The Lord Jesus And as he spoke to people, right, he shows us that wisdom of applying a word to the person. Jesus didn't always say the same thing in the same way to every person. You know, so to Nicodemus, the religious man who thought, well, I've worked my way into God's graces because of the religious works that I've done. And so Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you don't understand. Unless a man is born again by the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? Speaking to the need. But then to the woman at the well, who was looking, right, grasping for life in relationship with men, Jesus says to her, woman, I am the source of eternal life. And if you come to me for drink, then you will never thirst again. Jesus, right, he applied the word to the individual. And so we are called to speak similarly with wisdom. And you know, it takes wisdom, doesn't it, to know what what word is needed for the moment. Well, how do we get that wisdom? That wisdom, as Paul says early in Colossians, all wisdom is hidden in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. And then he goes on to say, and you have been filled in him. So when Paul says, walk in wisdom, he's saying, walk in Christ. Let him fill you with his wisdom as he fills you with his word and his heart, his Spirit. And Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus had told his disciples, I am the light of the world, the one that's come to bring light to those who are in darkness. But then he tells his disciples, no, you are the light of the world. Jesus came to bring light to you, and Jesus has given you, right, his light, if you have been brought into fellowship with him. And so he sends you out to bear his light in you. And what a glorious light we see in the Lord Jesus. Think about the words of Psalm 45. That's that psalm that's in praise of the King, praise of the Lord Jesus. The psalmist begins, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And he begins the song of praise for the King, the bridegroom. He says, you are more handsome than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Grace is poured upon the lips of the Lord Jesus. And as he ministered on earth here in his public ministry, he spoke words, gracious words. And Luke records in his gospel, it says that people marveled at the graciousness of the words that came from his mouth. That's the Lord Jesus. And the gracious words that have come from his mouth are the words that have made you, have made me alive in him. But he is now, if he's made you alive in him, he has put his words, right, in you, his word in you. And so he says, go, walk in me, walk in the wisdom of me, and speak my words to those on the outside so that I can be glorified in them too. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for your gracious, truthful, life-giving word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is the Word made flesh. And Jesus, we thank you that your life is in us. And so we pray, indeed, that you would fill us with your word, that you would grant us wisdom to speak with those on the outside, that the light of your truth might bring light to them as well, to the praise of your glorious grace. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.